Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy.
And I'm Funk Butcher.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us. Funk, if you want to be up on what's happening in the world of How to Kill an Hour, what would you suggest you need to do?
I would suggest you get your ass over to howtokillanhour.com.
That's right, baby. Where you can check out everything we do to kill time, stuff we talk about on the show, smoking paraphernalia. No, none of that on there at the moment. But yeah, everything everything we talk about here on How to Kill an Hour, you can find out by going to howtokillanhour.com. Funk, also, if you would like to contact us via some form of social media, what's the easiest way of finding us? Have we got many different types of social media outlets that have underscores in weird places, plus ones, exclamation marks, dollar signs?
Nope. It's very simply, it's howtokillanhour.com.
Simples, baby. So simples. So simples. We spoke about a lot in the last show about Christmas presents. Yeah, yep. And we got a couple of more things that are interesting. They're kind of gifty that we missed out on. And we've also got some other interesting things to talk about in the world of tech. Because as always, there is always techie things going on in the world. How are you doing though, Funk, at the moment? Before we crack on with today's show, how's tricks for you? How you been killing some time?
I'm good. I'm living. I've been making a lot of music.
Yeah.
So
alarm clock's going off. Yeah.
It's just my alarm clock to pick up my kids. So my kids just waiting outside the school gates. Yeah.
Oh, they'll be all right. Someone will get them. Right. Someone will get them.
Social services will get them. I've been making a lot of music, cracking on with the label. Got some exciting releases coming in 2018. That I'm really happy about. Lots of merchandise also. Lots of Houseology caps. Vinyl is coming out in the new year. So if you want to head over to houseologylabel.com, you can see all of that. Have a butcher's.
So that's houseologylabel.com?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'm sure Billy will put a link to houseologylabel.com in the show description for you to check out.
Nice.
So yeah, man, cool. One of your songs got kind of a political slant to it.
Yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Can we play a bit of it?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to? Where's the best place for me to go and get a clip of it right now?
I think the best place would be on my Twitter.
Yeah,
it's my pinned tweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the moment it is.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in 2020, then it may be a different one.
In the future.
Let's see what we're dealing with out here. God, let me get the volume on this one. Okay, let's go. One second. Oh. Fuck Donald. Okay. Oh, fuck Donald Trump. What's the name? What is the actual name of the tune?
The tune's called Public Service Announcement.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
The artwork's quite sick. Insider. Right now you're listening to How to Kill an Hour FM. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that now. Sick, man. That's wicked. What have I been doing? Not much, to be honest.
Yeah.
I finished all my Christmas shopping in early October.
Yeah.
So I'm just wrapping up the little kind of, you know, you always get a little side present that you forget for someone, or someone comes into your situation that you need to get something for. I'm doing that. So I'm kind of relishing the fact that I'm not going to have to do much over Christmas other than drink brandy. I'm back on the brandy. You know, I like a drink, Funk, but I drink vodka most of the year because brandy sits on my head for a few years after drinking it.
How would you describe a drink to someone who doesn't drink? So what is brandy in the grand? Is it strong? Is it medium? Is it
so
for a lightweight?
So the cognac that I like to drink is a spirit.
Yeah.
So it's a spirit. So for example, you get...
Where is it next to Smirnoff Ice? Because I've had Smirnoff Ice before.
Okay, cool. So you go... Smirnoff Ice, I'd say, is in the sort of Alco Pop area, right? But it's a bougie Alco Pop though.
Okay.
So it's not like Hooch or VK. VK used to be like the lower end.
Okay.
And then you have like WKD when you're like 16 and you're like a guy, have the, like the blue one, and the girls might have the pink one. And then like you might have a beer, which is a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
Depending on the beer you have.
Okay.
Or, and then after a glass of wine, it's a bit stronger. Then maybe a port or a sherry.
Okay.
And then...
Are you doing these in order of strength?
Yeah, in strength.
Okay.
Then there's a few things that are kind of in-betweeny.
Okay.
And then you hit the spirits, which are generally between like 30, 40%.
Okay.
And a beer or a VKs, they're like 3 or to 5 or 6%.
Okay. Okay.
So that's significantly stronger. Hence, you get the brandy and Coke drinkers because they like to mix it down a little bit.
Okay. So if a Smirnoff Ice is a 1.
Yeah.
What is a brandy? Is that a 15? Is that a 20?
It's going to be a 7 because you've got things like you've got things like absinthe, which are like you drink it and go blind.
Really?
Apparently so.
Okay.
And then at the 10, you've got like medicinal level alcohol, which is like 100% alcohol, which will just kill you if you drink it. It's the sort of stuff, if a fly landed on your glass and you had 100% alcohol, it would just fall into it and die. And it'll be sterile.
Can that be sold with this little alcohol?
I reckon if it's there, someone's selling it. Bossman at the local shop doesn't sell it though. But like clear drinks though, I will say this. Clear drinks generally give people less of a hangover. White spirits, shall I say, clear spirits give people less of a hangover than spirits that have got colour in them. And my belief behind it is that there's extra additives which you get, which give you flavour, and they add to the hangover. There's probably another thing that the scientists know about, but that's my understanding. And yeah, wine gives you a cracking hangover.
Wine is strong. That's a creepers.
Wine's strong. So wine gives you a bit of a hangover. No, quite a bit of a hangover if you drink too much of it. But as with all alcohol, drink sensibly
and responsibly,
and responsibly, that's it. Drink responsibly, and if you're not going to, you are the person who has brought it upon yourself. But over Christmas I will be consuming some cognac,
copious amounts
of cognac. I was introduced to cognac at a very young age. Like it's a beverage which people, it's a black drink, I will say. A brandy is a black drink, man. Brandy at a black man's drink.
Can I just put out a disclaimer on behalf of Marcus's parents that how he came about it, that is his business. They had nothing to do with it. They are responsible members of society.
No, when I mean,
the way you said that, I came out.
No, let me let me explain myself. So I think I did the WKD thing early. Yeah, I enjoyed that. WKDs, VK, I did all that sort of stuff.
Okay, so how young are we talking when you say young age then?
I'm talking like 70, 80.
Oh, I'm talking like 5 years old. Is that?
But I mean like five swinging a bottle of Hennessy around. That's a conversation, yay. A lot of people are, at my age then, they'll be like vodka coke drinkers. Yeah, but I used to go to these raves by a guy called Chris Sweeney, RJS Sound.
I know Chris. New Winner Road Show.
Yeah, so we used to hang around the elder people.
Yeah,
an older generation was drinking brandy, so we wanted to be like them, so we drank brandy. So we got a taste for that beverage very early on in our life.
What's a brandy brand that I would know?
Hennessy.
Okay, that's a brandy.
Cavossier.
Oh, no, okay. So they're all brandies.
Cool. Remy Martel.
Remy Martin.
Sorry, that's two different brandies. Martel, sorry, is a different brand. Remy Martin.
Okay, so the rapper is named after a brandy.
Remy Ma. Yeah, she's. I told you, it's a black drink, man.
Okay.
Thought I was just throwing that out. There is. If you can't tell me that Hennessy isn't associated with black people having a good time, you're silly. Nas is sponsored by Hennessy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, come on. It's hip hop, man.
Okay.
Basically.
So what's Ciroc then?
Ciroc is a vodka.
Okay.
But it is not made with the same stuff that regular vodka is, which is potato. It's made with grape snaps. Now, grape snaps technically mean that Ciroc is a wine, because wine is made from grapes.
Yeah.
Hence, the wave that Ciroc gives you being very different to that of, say, a Smirnoff or a Belvedere or a Grey Goose.
So it's technically not a vodka then, though, because it's made of grapes.
A lot of vodka people have were up in arms about it and were a bit moaning.
What's wrong with Puffy, man? He's always changing the game.
He's a G. Shout out to Puffy, man, just introducing us to this stuff that isn't really vodka, but it's prepared in the same way that vodka, they say.
But I heard that vodka's like the bosses of that are Russians. Is it?
Yeah,
is that
yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think Diddy's going to be rolling over to Russia very soon.
Okay.
But yeah, so like, you know, I like to consume brandy and it doesn't agree with me, as in I can't function on a high level after a weekend of drinking brandy throughout the year. But luckily at Christmas, I haven't really got to function at a high level, have I? I've just got to function at some sort of coherent level. That's
I guess
fun.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
And you've got to pass the potatoes, yeah.
Pass the potatoes.
The Brussels sprouts, yeah.
Yeah, man. Going over to mum's house, helping out at that Christmas dinner.
You might drop a few plates.
Yeah, probably. Probably, but you know what? It's all right, man. I've got this. I've got a good story about it. Right, now there's something called mushions, right? And I'm not talking about paraphernalia, but we got.
So let me just. You said mushions, not mushrooms.
Mushions, like cushions, mushions.
Okay,
I call it.
Cool.
And we got sent over a box of them, and you can get them from Firebox, right?
Can vegans have these?
Firebox.com. Yes, they are vegan friendly.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are basically cushions with your face on them. Now, we've been sent some.
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty cool.
Hence the name, because another word for face is your mush.
Your mush. Yeah, yeah. Your mush. I really like them. You can get a single, couple, or a threesome.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you can, yeah. We got sent five, so
that's
I don't know what that is.
Cause that's a lot of arguments. Imagine three.
I don't know what five's called. Fives is just called an orgy. We got an orgy of them sent
to
us.
Could you imagine having threesome mushrooms? Like, you got one for your wife and you got one for your mistress. You're just like, hey. You
and you give the wrong ones to the wrong person. Who's this? Oh, shit. But yeah, so we got sent them. They're basically cushions with your face on them.
Okay.
I found them quite amusing.
Yeah.
Do you like yours?
Yeah, I like mine.
I like mine. Do you like yours, Billy?
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, we got ones for Nick and Dev as well. So check them out. They're a funny little present you want to get for your mate. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it's not for Christmas, you might want to get them for it, like for their birthday or something.
Yeah.
Or you can get loads of them and then just go out with them on your hands. But yeah, they're pretty cool. But anyway, in the world of tech, the tech supergiant, the richest company in the world, Apple, have
they're the richest company in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're overtaking Microsoft.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Wow.
Bruv. Grand for an iPhone X.
Yeah.
You want me to call it 10, don't you? I'm still going to call it. A grand for an iPhone X. They're killing it, bruv. They're killing it.
What are they up to now?
I don't know what they're on. They're on ridiculous money. Yeah. They're on that sort of money where you can say it with the little finger against your face. $1 billion.
Dr. Evil.
Exactly. But Apple, they've acquired the music discovery app called Shazam. Shazam's been around for a while. I know about Shazam. Shazam started off in like 1998 or 1999.
Whoa.
As a company that you picked up your phone, dialed a number, held it to a speaker in a club, and they would text you the name of the song that was playing.
Oh my God.
That was the original.
Yes, so remember.
And they charge you 20p, yeah, 50p, yeah, whatever. That was it. It was great. They then developed their app, which I think dropped in 2007 or 8, iOS app. And then obviously that meant that they could be a lot more creative and interesting about it. You could get links to purchase the song. You could get links to you could add it to playlists on Spotify, yeah, and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, they're integrated quite well. And even though tech's changed, we all go through that situation where we hear a song and go, oh, where's that from?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So Apple, they said, fuck it. We're going to buy you. Buy you. And they bought them. apparently they bought them for 400 mil. I've been reading, which is weird because Shazam were valued at 1 billion.
Oh, man.
A little while back. But with that being said,
yeah,
they only pulled 54 million in revenue on their last forecast. Yeah. So someone in business was telling me that your value is 10 times what you pull.
Yeah.
So Apple obviously got a little deal off them.
Or if three times.
Exactly,
yeah.
Oh, is it three times? Yeah, cool. Yeah. So Apple got a little deal anyway off them. Anyway, if they're valued at a bill and they got them for 400 mil, that's Apple.
That's still going to hurt, though. Because if you're valued at 1 billion, you're valued at 1 billion.
Yeah, but it's just a valuation, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a value. Like, and that's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
However much you're valued at, doesn't mean that's what you're going to sell at.
Yeah.
You're at the value that you actually sell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like when someone says a house is worth a mil, it's only worth a mil once you've sold it for that mil.
Exactly.
Someone could come along and say, foundations are fucked.
Yeah.
Half a mil.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. So at that point in time, they had the chance to cash out at a billion, and they probably tried to play hardball, I guess.
Honestly, with you, Funk, if I offered you 400 mil,
yeah, I'll take it. But I would take it. But yeah. I'd feel a little bit gutted if a couple months ago that was a billion, that value.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's happened. How is this going to benefit us, though, really? Because that's what we want to know. How is Shazam being owned by Apple going to benefit
us? What are the consequences?
Well, as a result, the most obvious way the music discovery app can help Apple is via Apple Music. If they shut down the app and integrate it into iOS, one would assume that Siri, somebody could ask for a track name, and Siri, well, what's this track? And Siri could say, here's the track, listen to it on Apple Music, taking away the Spotify referrals that are there at the moment.
Excuse me, Monopoly board, we got a problem.
Because the click-through rate per day for Shazam that goes to Spotify is 1 million downloads. That's a million downloads Apple could curve onto their app, or streams, should we say, that Apple could push their way.
Yeah.
Billy, you use Apple Music. Can I steal you for a second, brother? I know you're busy producing stuff, and I know you've enjoyed sharing germs in the studio, so you'd like to share some more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Apple Music, if you like a tune, can you just stream it?
What do you mean, as in...
Through Shazam.
Yeah, because I use Spotify.
I very rarely use Shazam, but you can use Apple Music with it.
So if you've got Apple Music and you just want to hear a song, any song, can you just play it without downloading it, or do you have to download it?
Yeah, it's basically Spotify, but Apple's version of Spotify.
Okay, so Apple have bought themselves into 365 million streams a year then.
Could I interject there? Because I haven't signed up to Apple Music.
Same.
And there is no way I can listen to music on Apple Music, even if it's just a preview. You know, before Apple Music was around, there was just iTunes, and you'd listen to the clipping before you actually purchased the track. Now, you can't do that with Apple Music, but you can do that with Spotify, because obviously Spotify still have a free account.
Yeah.
So that's a bit interesting. So what...
But this is if they decide to. They might not. They might play fair, and they might let you Spotify. They might let you go to Spotify. They might be told to, like you said, Monopoly Commission might say you might not be able to command 365 million streams.
Yeah. But it's playing fair, and it's playing fair. They're probably going to play fair, as in they'll let Spotify at the table, but at a price.
Yeah. Yeah. If the price is right, you in. So we just thought we'd bless you with that. So if there's any changes on that, we will update you. Do not worry. We've got you here at How to Kill an Hour. Now, Silicon Valley, would you say it's a place that's synonymous with beautiful people, or would you say the stereotypes that come from Silicon Valley are more like nerds?
I always thought Silicon Valley was a place where they got fake titties.
Okay, now it's... I see the logic. I understand. But no. It's where there are many startup companies and tech companies in a valley.
Yeah.
A Silicon Valley is basically a description of an area where there is a lot of technology groups together working.
Okay. And this is in California?
Yes, California.
Okay.
Yeah. But there are other areas which you could call like Silicon Valleys and stuff, like is it Shenzhen? I always say it wrong in Japan. Yeah. Like when we met the guys from Insta360, and a lot of great technological developments like DJI happen over there.
Yeah.
But yes.
And there's a UK one. What's it called? There's a something corridor? Something. It's not the M4 corridor.
Is that where everyone gets their lips done? Silicon Fen?
No, there's
M4 corridor?
It might be that one, where there's a lot of tech companies sprinkled. But that's the UK version of it.
Reading and Bracknell becoming the UK Silicon Valley? I don't know, mate. Anyway, that wasn't my point.
Okay.
So apparently large companies and small companies alike, they're contracting modeling agencies to add some spice to their office parties, like mail order models, male and females.
Okay, so it does come back to fake titties then.
So the aim of this is to make the party not be so poor that no one turns up. So consequently, there's a company called Create Agency that are reporting that they are sending 25 women and 5 men to San Francisco gaming companies Christmas parties at $200 an hour. The mail order models are no joke. It's very serious. The companies like Create, C-R-E-8, work with hand-picked models and ask them to sign NDAs so they can't reveal their models.
Yep.
They have to learn names of employees and pretend that they are friends with certain ones. So they have to roll to a party. They have to be like, yeah, I work in HR with Dave, you know,
mm-hmm.
and do that. What are your thoughts on this, Funk?
It sounds like borderline pimping escort agency. In my estimations, they should really just stick to the coding and leave the PR side of things completely out of it.
You mean, so you want their parties to just, you don't want someone to add a bit of a spruce to a party in the form of a physical, attractive physical person?
Yeah, but look at this. They don't really want the whole effect of what's happened in Hollywood to kind of trickle over into their industry, whereby people are getting exploited for the wrong reasons. They're using a human presence based on his physical attributes, his or her physical attributes, to what? Further the endeavors of...
Well, okay. Well, I'm presuming this is above board, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're just doing it to have pretty people at parties to get the vibe pumping. Yeah, you know, like in certain clubs...
Well, this is the thing. This
like
is
in
the,
certain
this,
clubs, this you have the, a dancer that yeah. gets everyone going. You have the dancer that's like, come on, guys. Yeah, yeah let's
But
dance.
This is the argument that's obviously kind of taking place in the whole entertainment industry, that whether it is above board or not, if you explicitly kind of market that aspect, you're kind of exploiting people. So basically what they're trying to say is you can get this vibe, this natural vibe, but do it organically. Take time.
How?
Grow a personality. Code one.
I don't think there's a problem with that, man. It's like having a popular DJ at a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that'll bring everyone along, but you can just have some pretty looking people at a party.
I've got to say
they got a fuck. If you got to say, yeah, listen, you got to fuck an employee, that's bad. That's bad. I don't agree with that, because that's just straight up prostitution.
Yeah. But the problem is that if there is assets being brought in to a situation and the company is aware that these people, they're not actually staff per se, they're designed to be a feature kind of thing, then that feature, like most things, there's going to be instances where it could be exploited, i.e. these people could be exploited.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that whether we like it or not, we're moving into a whole different era. We're moving to a whole different age. We're having instances where no one thought in a million years that Kevin Spacey could have his career hurt. Ever. His new film, that was finished, they edited him out and put some old guy in it.
Good. Little piece of shit.
And that's what I'm trying to say. So we're at a stage now where it doesn't matter how big the name is. The only person who really is like literally untouchable, he's like Neo in The Matrix, and for some reason they can't tag him, is Donald Trump at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got all the dirt in him that they like and they can't make it stick. But everyone else, it's fair game. They're getting hit up. So a lot of companies have to be very careful with the way they project their image on a global scale, because there's even been a lot of instances with some tech companies that I've been seeing online, some game developers who are getting done for unfair dismissals and discrimination within the workplace and sexism and so forth, misogyny and da 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 kind of thing. So there needs to be a conscious awareness that because this dialogue is out and open, what may have been acceptable 10, 15 years in the industry, bringing a set of people, liven things up, like, what is this, a Hugh Hefner party?
Well, those were above board though, weren't they?
That's what I was going to say, but they were above board, but even...
That was his job though, really.
Exactly.
His job was beautiful women on magazines, so it would be a surprise at his Christmas party if he employed everyone that he had in his magazines, you'd have a Hugh Hefner party.
But that
party
was, his initial job was to sell the image and perception of beauty through women in his magazine. And then an offshoot of it was the fact that he started to
have wives,
license these women to kind of appear at parties as Playboy bunnies, again, to do the same thing, to hype up the image of the party. And then obviously since his death, everyone's just kind of realized that, oh yeah, that was a bit effed kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like these poor guys have been working all year, coding all year. What's wrong with a little bit of eye candy? A few guys, a few girls that look good. I'm not saying they have to be like, you know, I'm not saying they have to sleep. I mean, if they decide to do extras, that's their thing. But I think the premise is some good looking people just to enjoy that, to big up the vibe of the party. I don't think that's that bad.
They need to get on out of that cyber world, out of Tron. Yeah. That they're logged into, out of Tron, the cybernetic matrix world, get into the real world and just develop real relationships like we've done.
But when you're working for those big companies, they don't want you to go outside. They want you to stay in. You got free food every single day, free food to eat.
And this is what these companies have done. Mm, they've said,
yoga for free.
You want pizza, we'll deliver it to
pizza,
you.
Yeah.
You want women as well, we'll deliver it to you.
Yeah.
You want vibe, we'll deliver it to you.
That's 360 degree satisfaction from your employee.
Yeah.
Creates enjoying themselves though. Like they're doing really, really well.
It kind of harks to the dynamic that you find in a lot of these massive, massive, massive companies, like the Facebook headquarters. If you see the Facebook headquarters, it's literally like a man cave where you don't have to leave. Even if you're, you know, unfortunately, if you're a woman there, it's still a man cave as well, because all the attributes there are designed and designated for men, like sweet food and computer games and, okay, there's stuff that women like as well, but generically they're designed for the enjoyment of men, and they're all in one place, so the men don't have to leave. So a lot of these companies are so powerful. What they're saying is that we will create the environment for you, so you don't have to leave. The ecosystem,
I'm for it. Funk's against it, I'm for it. I'm down. I'm like, let them have some fun, man. Let them enjoy their lives.
I'm saying, like Uncle Ben once told me, with great power comes great responsibility.
This is true. And this is true. And this is why somebody's rant about Twitch has come to the forefront of my eyes. Now, it has been the opinion of certain streamers on Twitch. You know Twitch, streaming website, people game on
it. I'm aware of it. I don't use it, yeah.
People can game on it. You can kind of log on it. It's a live streaming site. So you can play a game and have live interaction with people. Now, there are...
I kind of use it to watch, like, boxing matches when I don't want to pay.
I pretend I didn't hear that. So there's a pro streamer called Stephen Bono, and he's come with the opinion that Twitch is in danger of becoming a cam girl hangout, and Twitch should do something to prevent it from occurring. Now, he's claiming that Twitch's genre of in real life streaming, basically daily vlogging, but in a stream format. So it's like people just saying, hey guys, today, it's live what you're seeing.
Yeah.
He's saying that it's at risk of becoming sexualized, okay? Because there are young women doing boring everyday stuff, right?
See, I'm not sure if he's concerned about the welfare of the women.
Let me get to this. And he's calling them Twitch booby streamers. So I'm going to just describe. He's basically saying there are women that are on Twitch
TBS
that are just wearing low-cut tops and doing a little bit of streaming, and their main aim is to get gifts and streams and views, and the only tool that they're using is their boobies, and he is thoroughly against these booby streamers. He thinks they're turning the world of Twitch upside down.
Okay.
Now,
thoughts?
For me, I'm like, you sound like a fucking hater. He sounds like a hater.
I think he realizes that because he ain't got no titties, he can't compete. And his money's going to get fucked up. That's what he sounds like. He sounds like a worried guy backed up against the wall.
Listen.
And they're going to get some serious numbers.
Exactly. The same thing. Are you trying to tell me, are there some people on... I'm going to use YouTube for example. Are there some people on YouTube that have viewers that watch them because they're beautiful? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there females?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there males?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are also people that like what they talk about.
Mm.
There might be some people whose looks surpass... Oh, cheers, Bill. Thanks. You're right there, Bill.
The mic's off, though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Billy is half past dead.
Billy is so sick that he's just sharing his... If you ever come to the studio, don't go on mic 3, until Billy has disinfected it. And
I've got my hand sanitizer ready, man.
It needs more than that. We need to dip that in some Dettol.
It's for me.
You know what? Billy actually, just so you know, he actually blew his nose on the mic. That wasn't a tissue. He blew his nose on the mic. Yeah. It's soggy, bruv. It's dripping wet. So, yeah, but I was saying, but are there people that people look at because they're pretty more than because of their content? Yes, there has. Yeah. In every media format, there are people. Like, I got a mate who's a really, really good musician. Yeah. He really loves live musicians, but he's in love with Taylor Swift. And you ask him why, he goes, because I love the way she looks. Uh-huh. But you got people that just fancy Beyonce and they might listen to her music or watch her music video because they fancy her. Yeah. That's just the way it is. Some people prefer the way people look. And if you're not happy with what you're bringing to the table on your output and you can't look at other people. No, if you're not happy with the numbers you're getting compared to others, either you have to work on your content, getting more numbers or just lump it, bruv. Don't start blaming other people.
So you're saying trust in your content, fam.
Yeah.
Trust in your content.
To deliver more content, man.
Don't you think he's got, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, of course.
Don't you think he's got a legitimate, a grievance beef, as it were, because even though Twitch wasn't designed for any one specific kind of community online, when a community like what she represents gets hold of it, I mean, we've seen it with Instagram, the numbers of like fitness women or women who kind of wear bikinis, their numbers are crazy compared to anyone else who's put any other content.
Of course.
So is it a case of he feels that his market is going to be divided and he's going to lose? I mean, it's not as simple as kind of your content is strong enough to maintain your audience. In the modern era, there's always these distractions which can
come. Kind of,
I went on there to, you might go in there to look at some cheat codes. Oh, some boobies. I'm going to go down here, and you go down a wormhole.
There you go, you're lost. You're lost. But you know, I think it comes down to a classic lyric in a song. It's like that, and that's the way it is. It always will be, bruv. There are always going to be people
who
use their good looks.
I'm going to hit you for Never Live It from a classic song. Never trust a big butt and a smile.
Well, you know, but I think the gentleman in question or the people that are unhappy with this need to kind of just realize that there's areas of the internet where people can find content like that solely. And if that's really what they're into, looking at a pretty girl, the internet's like 99% porn or whatever. They'll go to porn. But if someone else's Twitch's channel is doing better than you just have to make sure you kick ass content wise. Now, the biggest YouTuber in the world, who I don't even want to mention his name, very racist guy. said some racist things, bruv. The biggest YouTuber in the world.
Begins with a P.
Yeah.
Is he the biggest one in the world?
Yeah, bruv.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a he. And he don't back off his top. He doesn't even do like the maddest, craziest video edits and stuff like that.
Okay.
So with that being said, he's proven that his content wins. Yeah? He's a good looking guy, but I don't think his content revolves around that. Now, if this guy is worried about the internet being corrupted, if you then go onto a website, so YouTube's a website, if you go to a website like pornsomething.com, that same YouTuber ain't going to be the most searched person.
But is this person that's airing this grievance, is it because he's on the trajectory up and he's establishing, whereas that YouTuber that we won't mention, he's already established, so he's no one's a threat to him anymore? Maybe it's a case of that.
I'm going to guess that this person, I'm going to guess that they're in a position where they've had too much time to think about this.
Okay.
You get me? I think, you know, let's look at Steve Bonnell's numbers, man. I reckon he's probably a sick streamer, but at the same time, like, you know, but he's got a decent amount of Twitter followers. I'm trying to find his link. But like, at the same time, it doesn't even matter how many followers he's got.
Is he Calvin Harris in the game, or is he like, I don't know, on the way up?
I don't know enough about Twitch to know who their top Twitch streamers are, but I don't know, top Twitch, top 10, I don't know. Let's see what the top streamers are, man.
But Twitch isn't like a platform where I think even if you was in the top 5,
so the top people have 2 million followers.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I think it's the platform itself.
Yeah.
It's still a niche platform as opposed to YouTube. YouTube, you can be in the top 50 and you're still
smashing
doing
it.
Yeah, it's still smashing it.
It's getting big though, but Twitch getting big. So he's not a top Twitcher. So maybe it's just a comment from somebody who wants to stir the pot. But, you know, my opinion is that...
Do you know what this is?
Yeah.
Wait for it. You ready, Billy? This is a nervous Twitch.
Episode name.
Yay.
Yes.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spunk. Bringing it to the table.
He's on fire.
Netflix have been throwing some shade around Christmas time this year. They have released some very interesting listening figures from specific users of Netflix. So they've told us that one person in the UK has made it a daily ritual to watch the B-movie. They've watched it 357 times during the year of 2017.
What?
The B-movie.
The one with the actual B, the cartoon.
Yeah, 357 times during 2017 they've watched it. So they've watched it more than once a day because 2017 ain't over yet, baby. Even though in France the most viewed movie is Shrek Forever After, in Germany, it has repeat viewings of Ocean's 11. So Germany are killing it, those films. In America, one viewer clocked up 365 viewings of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
So basically watch it every day.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Even that person really, really, really loves Johnny Depp, boy. Yeah, like.
What the fuck? What film have you watched the most and how many times?
Oh man, I haven't watched a film more than in my lifetime. I haven't watched it. I wouldn't say there's a title I've watched more than 20 times. No, actually, I say between 20. No, actually, I think I've watched over 30 times. bless you, Billy. Coming to America. I think I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the reason why I would watch.
How many years is that in there?
Sorry. Oh yeah, but that's over a span of since it first came out. Yeah. The only time I would watch a film consistently is when it is kind of being projected onto me, like the Christmas specials and a film with like Home Alone.
Yeah,
everyone's seen that. God knows how many
times.
Yeah, because that comes on every year. But I wouldn't independently watch a film again and again. There isn't a film title out there that I said, oh yeah, I'd watch this film again. I'd watch that film again. But yeah, Matrix is good. Yeah, Shawshank is good.
Yeah.
Those IMDb top 10, but I wouldn't really draw for it again and again and again and again.
I got a theory behind some of these repeat viewings, though.
I've got a short attention span.
Yeah.
What's your theory? It's the director trying to rack up royalties, isn't it? He's just watching it.
Could be that. Hey, look, keep us on. I think I watched Sin City about 10 times.
Really?
I just really was infatuated about it.
Okay.
Over the course of a year, once a month.
It's a good film, yeah.
Yeah, it's just different, isn't it?
Better than the second one.
Oh, yeah, the second one was trash. But just because it was trying to be like, let's do another one. Yeah, I didn't feel like they put as much effort into it. But I have a theory, right? You're a teenager, you got Netflix, and you know every time you go to Netflix, you can continue watching the thing that you were last watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes you might just start it again because it's the first thing that you're watching, you might want to start it again.
Okay.
What if these people are teenagers that want to go home for a cheeky wank and don't want to get their mum or dad listening, put the film on loud? The B-movie must have music in it, right? Or it must be quite loud. And you think, let me put on a nice, friendly film that's not going to make me start thinking of weird things. You get me? Come home, whack the movie on, whack one off, and then go sleep and the rest of the movie plays. But come home, continue watching.
The problem
that's what
is,
it sounds like.
The problem with a B movie is that if I think it's the movie that I'm talking about, it's about a young black girl around the age of like 6 or 7 who goes into a spelling bee. So I'm not sure it's the kind of like material you want to have on the TV. It is that film, isn't it?
That's the film with bees in it.
It's a Steve Carell movie.
It's a film with bees in it.
There's another film called B Movie though.
This B movie is one with actual bees in it.
Oh, there's a cartoon one and there's another one.
Yeah, this is the cartoon one.
Oh, okay. Both of them are on Netflix though.
Yeah, with actual bees in it. I think it's a wanker that's doing it. I think it's someone's coming home, knocking one out, and they don't want mum to hear, so they put on the same old film. It makes sense though, doesn't it? And because it's a film, it's like, oh, he's watching TV, bless him, I won't disturb him. Mum, I'm watching my films again, don't disturb me.
But what are the chances are that your mum or your guardian is going to be in the house every single day at that same time that you need to put that...
Stay at home, mum or dad.
Because this person has... Oh, okay, yeah, it's that film then. The one with the... Yeah. In all fairness, the B movie with the cartoon B, that's quite a funny. It might be just someone with kids.
Oh, or the kid that's going, I want to watch my film again.
Yeah.
And that's more likely.
And I've seen some parents literally use Netflix as a pacifier and they put on the same program.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. So it's not a wanky one. 53 people watched A Christmas Prince every day for the past 18 days. Netflix said on Twitter, who hurt you? Oh man, so they've been out there roasting people. I mean, they could be lying because they're Netflix, but something tells me about these stats that they're real. The pacification theory is the one that really works for me the best. I think I've got Billy's cold. Cheers. Bill. Facebook apparently, but I mean, we'll just brush this real quick. But a former vice president of Facebook called Chamath Palihapitiya.
Well done.
Is that his name? Yeah. Palihapitiya. He expressed his concern. He was basically expressing concern, stating that he thinks Facebook is programming us via dopamine hits that we get when we get likes and notifications.
He's been listening to the show.
We've mentioned this before, and he thinks that they're becoming the new civil discourse and lead to cooperation, misinformation and mistruth. By hitting us with the dopamine at the right time, when we look at certain bits of Facebook, they can juke us with other bits of information and feed them to us. He says he feels a tremendous guilt. He says we all knew in the back of our minds, even though we feigned this whole line of there probably aren't any bad unintended consequences. I think deep, deep, deep back in the recesses of our mind, we knew something bad could happen. But I think that but the way we defined it was not like this. Now,
you know, it's like, yeah, man, you're such a shithead, because when you were getting your... that's the most polite way I could describe someone who, when Mark Zuckerberg was signing off your checks and all that kind of stuff, you didn't think that you was creating world evil, did you? Did you, mate? When you went to the showroom and picked up your Ferrari based off your checks from Mr. Zuckerberg, you was no way on God's green earth thinking of the ramifications of this potentially destructive force
exactly
that you was building. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. Retrospect is a wonderful thing, because it shows us to all be enlightened individuals, and we all woke after getting a knock on the head from a baseball, and we can all kind of reflect on the error of our ways. And I don't have the name in front of me, so I'm not going to attempt it.
Palihapitiya, I can't do it. Yeah. Sorry. All due respect, I can't do it again.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, that was a trick. I just led you into that.
Palihapitiya. Got it.
So, has now kind of assumed a position of wokeness.
He's woke.
Yeah.
Stay woke, kids.
Yeah, redirecting the new generation and to the away from the kind of the past. errors and indiscrepancies he's caused whilst being at this large company. But the thing is, that's also quite annoying. He admits in the interview, which I saw on a Channel 4 post, that he's only posted something like 3 or 4 times on Facebook in the past 7 years.
Wow.
So I've always felt to myself, that's been a common trend I've known of a lot of...
That's a bit spooky, that.
Yeah, of course it is. A lot of these individuals who have played massive, massive parts, I'm talking about the original inception,
mm-hmm.
programming, building the infrastructure, which later, not the people that come afterwards and they join Facebook when it's like number one on the kind of FTSE 100. I'm not talking about those kind of people. I'm talking about people that are there in the inception when Mark Zuckerberg was still in halls, kind of thing. the period of time where social media, the film was based around. Those people who kind of knew what they were getting into at the beginning, they never really used Facebook or Twitter or any of those social medias like the people it was designed for. So they kind of represent what it is to be the drug dealer. Biggie famously said, never get high on your own supply.
Never get high on your own supply.
And it seems like what they've done is they've put a product on the market, a very addictive product, which they're not addicted to because they understand how dangerous it is, but they're very comfortable to peddle it.
Mm. Which is quite ironic, considering. But you know what? I mean, I reckon stay woke. Understand that Facebook is there to take information from you.
Mm-hmm.
So just, if you're aware of that, you're safe. But I feel like we are aware of it, but many aren't.
But I don't think it is just there to take information from you, because obviously around the point in time when we had our own UK general elections, we saw the way Facebook was able to kind of manipulate and control.
Ooh,
and obviously,
yeah,
in America, we've still got this ongoing thing where Donald Trump is playing catch me if you can when they're trying to pin the Russian tail on his donkey behind in regards to the whole US elections, which is now 2 years ago. By the time they actually kind of get enough evidence, that I don't have enough already, he'll be out of office anyway.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, look, we're halfway through his, like...
They've been there a year.
Huh?
They've been there a year.
It's been 2 years, isn't it? Okay, feels like 2 years.
Yeah, they say time travels fast when you're having fun.
All right. Yeah, so quarter of a way. And then it just feels like Facebook, even then, is able to kind of create a hive mentality and extrapolate exaggerations of social trends.
Yeah.
So you, if you're someone who is of kind of a weak disposition mentally, you kind of fall into the mix of, oh, I don't know which way I'm going to vote, but everyone's saying that Nike trainers are the best, so Nike trainers are the best, kind of thing. One of those kind of moments. So Facebook has the ability to take the people who sit in the middle ground and on the fence
and move them. So they are the political power of the world.
Yeah,
they are the new world order.
Yeah.
Wow. And all from a website that used to just put pictures of you getting drunk in a nightclub.
Yeah.
And crazy.
I mean, what's interesting in that post, I was reading through, I like to read the comments of the average day-to-day individual, what they think of, and kind of, I'll have my own initial opinion, and then I'll kind of look and read at what other people are saying. A lot of people were quite defensive of his comments, even though he was putting out a statement which was quite looking out for you, big brotherish, the nanny state.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, hold on, like, be careful there, like, drugs can kill you, kind of thing. He was kind of coming from that perspective. A lot of people pushed back. A lot of people were quick to point out the obvious benefits.
Mm.
Oh, I can connect with my family in Australia. Oh, I can see pictures of my grandchildren that I haven't seen in God knows how many years. And oh, and so they were ignoring the long-term damaging consequences of Facebook, which is what he was hinting at, that socially, over a long period of time, the way we interact with each other is being eroded, and we're looking at a new era of
fuckery.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it as usual with Facebook, but you know, be woke, stay woke, kids. Yes, stay woke. Another social media app platform. Everyone loved Vine. Remember,
Vine returns.
Vine shut down, Vine and returns. It's back, man, in the form of Vine 2.
Vine. I retweeted the image when it came on social media. I thought, oh, bloody hell. You've been away so long, but your imagination has improved. You called it Vine 2. It looks like Vine squared.
People like to come back. So I like it, Vine 2. I like it. People like it, a reboot. So we're going to go for a reboot.
What's it going to have? 12 seconds instead of 6?
Exactly. Why not? Two seconds instead of 6. So the co-founder, Dan Hoffman, made Vine 1. It was purchased by Twitter and they shut it down at the start of 2017. It feels like ages ago that. It spawned a lot of creators to move onto other platforms like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I think Logan Paul, that was it. He was like the most prominent Vine guy, and they just moved over to Insta TV and movies.
Well,
they're
doing
very
well, yeah. Batch is on a Netflix film I saw the other day.
Yeah, I think he's a producer on that film, you know.
Yeah.
Most of all, we don't know much else about Vine 2, but after Vine 1 worked and then they fucked it off, what are we thinking about Vine 2? Could Vine come back? Because I like the 6-second format. I think it encouraged you to be creative within a very small amount of space. And a lot of people that said the comedians and people that were funny on it couldn't transgress, people went up.
Well, the transition that some of those comedians have made, some made successfully, some didn't, because of a percentage, there's so many stars on Vine that I don't see on the obvious similar platforms like Instagram or Twitter, or even their Twitter followings are really, really small because they concentrate a lot of their content and material on Vine. What happened in that interim period between Vine disappearing and the other social media platforms being aware of that is that they kind of up the space in the room. Everyone's increased the rooms of their properties. Twitter, they got more characters. Insta got longer videos. Snapchat got more features. Facebook got, do you know what I mean? So we're at a space now where if Vine was to come back, it couldn't occupy 6 seconds anymore because everyone's doing bigger and better things, literally.
So what does Vine need to do then? Does it need to be a minute long then? Does it need to be...
Well, that's why I kind of touched on that thing, that Vine 2. What's it going to have? Like 12 seconds or...
I think it should stay at 6 seconds.
Why?
That is what made Vine so popular, was the 6 to 7 seconds. It was looping as well.
The key word is was there. It's... The attention span of audiences these days is like, I mean, Twitter's always bringing up new updates or changes. I mean, just this week they've changed the layout of the app again, kind of thing, after they've increased.
They haven't added too much. It's just an ability to add threads.
They've changed the, as well as adding a feature, they've changed the look of it as well. So that's only a month after increasing the word count.
Mm.
So you'd have to think in the months that Vine has been away, what updates could it come back? It has to come back, not just new, it has to come back with new
different
features.
I think the 6 seconds, there's space for it. Because if you look at a load of your viral videos now on Facebook or Twitter, they are 10 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is space for it. It just has to do... The reason it died originally was because monetization.
Yeah.
The creators felt that Vine wasn't doing enough to help them earn money from their content, which is why they went to Facebook and Instagram, because companies were willing to pay for them for their content.
But that could have been solved easily if Vine had sold out to one of the big boys like Facebook or whatever when the offers came in, because they held out. That was at the detriment of the content creators.
Twitter bought Vine before it even released. Yeah. Before it even gone public, Twitter bought it.
Yeah. But I mean, Twitter...
Twitter
was having its own problems then, because Twitter's not making any profit.
But I still, guys, going back to Twitter, will Twitter still exist in 10 years? Which I think it will, but it just needs to find new ways of getting investors.
Yeah. But the key thing is, how can Vine reinvent itself? I'm not sure it can. It might be a MySpace situation. When Justin Timberlake kind of bought MySpace and it tried to revamp it and it came back and it was just like, yeah, it looks new, looks nice, but...
Who bought it?
Justin Timberlake.
Was it Timbo that bought it?
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake. I don't think he could bring it back. He's powerful, but you need powers to bring that back, bro.
You can't even bring yourself back.
Hey. No one will ever... Facebook's got a monopoly now. No one will bring out a Facebook competitor and win. Yeah. Facebook's too big.
Never say never, kids.
Look what Facebook's done to Skype. Never. Facebook's basically killed Skype, man. I used to be on Skype. Ooh, I used to love Skype. Skype and AIM.
MSN Messenger.
Yeah. AOL Instant Messenger.
You're WhatsApp now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't need...
But I mean, Skype, once Facebook incorporated, because Facebook acquired Skype, didn't they?
Microsoft.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. But then the Facebook caller.
It's built into their messenger.
Yeah,
app.
It's built into their messenger.
But so I don't. No one uses that, though, do they?
What, the Facebook caller?
Yeah, I don't use it.
No. But the messenger feature of it is basically Skype.
Yeah.
How interesting.
So unless Vine is coming back to form the basis of an acquisition, that might be the best.
Well, the new Vine will be separate from Twitter. It'd just be like its own company.
No, what I'm saying is that if Vine comes back and shows that there is still a demand for it, then it can make itself look an attractive for a takeover from a buyer rather than being vacant and wanting to get bought out. So if it comes back, shows it's willing, there's promise, there's just a demand for it in the market, that if someone buys it, can they then take it onto the next stage.
I mean, I'm looking forward to Vine because I was on Vine when it first was at its infancy.
Yeah,
and I saw it all the way through to the end.
Yeah,
I got on it a bit too late.
Yeah,
but I'd go back to it.
Yeah, I was on it from day dot inception. But the levels at which Instagram has progressed now, I think Instagram has killed it. Instagram has taken the head of Snapchat for me. I think it has. I think it's literally come like what's the guy from Highlander? What's his name? McLeod. It's taken the head off.
And the people saying that you could never have had anything better than Snapchat, when nothing could have taken over Snapchat.
Never.
When you see that. It's a full on truth that someone can come along and just say, "Hey,
want to copy your idea?" And
you made it a hot line. I made it a hot song.
Hey, he did it, man. He did it. Anyway, this has been How to Kill an Hour. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Funk Butcher.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Funk, what would you say the easiest way for somebody to find out more about the show would be?
howtokillanhour.com.
I'd even say just put in the words "how to kill an hour" into Google, and you will actually see us.
Do your Googles.
Also, everything we spoke about in today's show, find links to via the show description. In the meantime, there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Funk Butcher again.
Thank you for killing some time with us.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.